Whenever King David was informed about Mephibosheth, he was told when he had inquired, was there anyone? And he was told about this man, Mephibosheth. It is very notable there that it says in verse 5 that King David sent and fetched him. He fetched him from where he was. Now Mephibosheth would never have been found at the king's table if he had not been fetched. And that is the title of my message tonight, at the king's table. He would never have been there if King David had not sent to seek him out and to bring him to that place where he would benefit. And that pictures for us in a very special way the efficacious work of God the Holy Spirit in those whom God brings to himself for salvation. Now, we recognize the tremendous responsibility that men and women have to come to Christ. But we also see here the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of men and women. How true the words are. And maybe it's right to say that in these days when there's great hardness and indifference, that more and more we're apt to pray in a certain way, and rightly so. We're apt to pray when we think of the words, except the Spirit draw them, they cannot come. Men put up 1,000 barriers and all kinds of opposition to the gospel and will not come to God unless they are drawn to him. In other words, God fetches men and women who are far from him. This man, Mephibosheth, he was very far from where David was. He was on the other side of the Jordan. And more than that, he was in a place called Lodebar. And the name Lodebar means a place where there's no pasturage. And some say it means really a place of no bread. He was in that place where there was nothing that pictured a life where there was nothing to fill that life. Certainly it was a place of considerable barrenness. And Christian, you have prayed very often that God's Holy Spirit would work in a remarkable way in unconverted people. And tonight as we consider that, I trust that you'll pray even now that God will work in the hearts of unconverted people. And that God, through the work of his Holy Spirit, will single out men as Mephibosheth was singled out. And that their need will be pointed out as this is something that Mephibosheth was very, very conscious of. He'd nothing. And more than that, that men and women will be brought tonight right to the cross to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If you look at the beginning there, I've mentioned it already, it says King David sent and he fetched him. It doesn't seem that there were that many others that were particularly concerned for him. But we can also say concerning this young Mephibosheth that we see great love here. David had a caring heart, he had a shepherd's heart. He displayed that love in his seeking out of this man. You can really see here the highest in the land, a man for whom things were going extremely well at this time, he's reaching down to the lowest. And all of these things, all of them, remind us of what God has done for us. God fetched us out. He brought us from our lost and ruined state. He brought us out because he loved us. He reached right down to where we were. And he saved us just as we were. And he brought us to that place of plenty. You will see that there's no animosity here, that reverence is done. If you look at verse 6, he showed respect for the king, and the king, he treated him as an equal here. You see, what was experienced by Mephibosheth physically was something that he desperately needed. He needed this kind of care. He needed to be brought to the king's table. And what we find in Mephibosheth that was lacking physically, we see in men and women without Christ, it is lacking spiritually. Because men and women in their sin are in the place of no pasture. They're in the place where there's nothing to satisfy them. They're in desperate need of being fetched out. They're in desperate need of a personal experience in salvation of the love of God. Over there in Psalm number 40, it's expressed very well what God can do for men and women in such a state. It says there in verse 2 of Psalm 40, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. That is what God has done for every believer here. And that is what God can do for those who will come to Him. You will notice here that it's mentioned on a couple of occasions that Mephibosheth was found at the king's table. And that, as I mentioned, is the title of my message tonight, At the King's Table. I want you to notice, first of all, as Mephibosheth was here at the king's table, this table was a place where he would be supplied. A place where he would be supplied. Now, he was a poor man at this time when David fetched him out and was received not only with great kindness, but he was actually taken as he was before everyone and given this position, which when you look at the picture here, it was exactly the same as that which was enjoyed by David's own family. He was right at the table there. You bring someone into your house for some tea or their lunch or whatever, you bring them into where your family is. And I'm sure you would treat them well and you want them to feel at home there. You see, in Oriental lands, this bringing to the table was a mark of great honour. It was a mark of great honour being bestowed upon someone. You can take time yourself and look in 1 Kings 2 and 7 and also in 2 Kings chapter 25. And if a famine was to come, if others were to experience great want, then young Mephibosheth here, he would not lack supply at the king's table. For he was now in the king's palace, treated as one of the king's own offspring. He didn't have to pay anything for it. This was all bestowed upon him by King David. And King David had long ago made a special arrangement with Jonathan, his father. It is noted, I may not take time tonight because the time would be this. It is referred to as a covenant that they made, that David would behave in exactly the way that we find him behaving in this chapter. And so it is with God. There's a people who are given to Christ. And that is why we preach to all who come in to our meetings, because God has an elect people. I don't know who they are, but I know this, that our responsibility is to preach to all, to every creature, or that is to everyone capable of receiving it. We're to preach to them. And God takes a dealing with men and women. And don't ask me if you're elect tonight, but this I tell you, if you come, He will not cast you out. If you come, He will not cast you out. If you recognize your need, you can know what it is to be brought to that position where you will be greatly supplied. Think of the words, and sometimes, not very often, but just the other week I was somewhere preaching and some children asked me to sign their Bible. And usually if you do it, you put a wee verse. I usually put John 1 verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I love that verse because it speaks of being adopted into God's family at conversion. And you and I will never know what it is to be empty again. We will never be, as far as our spiritual life is concerned, relying upon the husks. Yes, we may fail. We may fail miserably, as we mentioned this morning, as we battle against the flesh and the world and the devil. And there may be those times when we feel that we've let the Lord down. But His grace will never fail. And His salvation will be something that we will have for time and for eternity. And we will be continually supplied by Him. And we will be continually at the Lord's table, feasting on the very best that there is. I read a story one time, and it's about a man that you will have heard of. And he was born in what was called Prussia, which apparently is now Germany, and he grew up and he broke his mother's heart. And even when she was dying, it is said that he was out with a bunch of other hoods playing cards and gambling. He was roaming the streets every night. He was most of the time drunk. And eventually, at the age of 16 years, he found his way into prison. And there he stayed for a good while. Just a thief and a vagabond. Nothing to offer society. No good for himself or for anyone else. But some years later, in the west of England, there was a great funeral procession. It is said that all of the shops were closed. Every flag practically in the country was flown at half-mast. And thousands of people with tears in their eyes filled the streets. They were lying to rest the form of the man who was known as the thief of Halberstadt. His name was George Mueller. George Mueller, who perhaps was the greatest example of faith that has ever lived from Bible times. He saw tens of thousands reached and helped greatly through looking to the Lord and very often relying on the Lord alone. You see, somewhere after that time when Mueller had been in prison, Mueller found Christ and was found of him. And as someone rightly said describing this, he came into contact with the Christ of Galilee and gave his life to him. You see, that made all of the difference. Because George Mueller initially was in a position spiritually to what we find Mephibosheth in physically. He was at the end of himself. He was in the place of no pasture. Nothing was going to improve for him where he was. Until just as David took young Mephibosheth to the table, the Lord took George Mueller to his table. And I know tonight, as I look down the congregation, there are many here tonight and you've been to that table. You've been to the King's table over there in the Song of Solomon. We've had occasion to refer to that book on several occasions recently. A book that shows us the great love of Christ for his church, for his bride. And over there in Solomon chapter 2, this is what it says there in the Song of Solomon chapter 2, and it's the verse 4, it says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Here is the testimony of someone who's truly experienced the grace of God in their lives, because they're saying here, he brought me. He brought me into his banqueting house. That is where King David brought Mephibosheth, and that is where the Lord has brought me. And that is where he has brought a lot of other people in here tonight. You see, in the heart of natural man, there's an antipathy, if you want to call it, to the gospel. You can take a man and set before him all the blessings of Christ. Tell him that in him there's everything that he needs, not only for his eternal well-being, but all that he needs for life as well. And you can talk to him about that for a very long time. You can even preach to him about that Sunday after Sunday, but you'll find out that he still prefers sin. He still prefers his sin. And decides too often to remain where he was, giving his best years to the world and involving himself in what are transient pleasures at best. But when God takes a dealing with a man and deals with his heart, and that man responds positively and repents of a sin and embraces Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then he is brought into the banqueting house. That's what it's talking about here. You'll notice there that the thought here is of a sign or a banner. Of his banner over me is love. His banner over his people tonight is still love. But notice the setting of the banner. It's over. The banner over us is love. And that which is covers the Christian tonight, that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That protects him from the wrath of God. Christian, however difficult it may be for you to walk the Christian life, you may be struggling. Sometimes we'll meet people and they tell us all through the years, I've never done anything but struggle. Well, struggle as they may, there's one thing for sure for them. The wrath of God will never find them. It will never find them. Because they're in Christ. And they're safe there. And of course you see there when he speaks about he brought me into his banqueting house and his banner over me is love. A banqueting house really was very often a place a house of wine, a place of feasting, and that is symbolic of the gospel and the great blessings that Christ brings to men and women who turn to him. In fact, it speaks of the very best things, the very best that is available. Christ only gives us the best. But the thing about it is, you're guaranteed the best if you will turn to him. Over there in the book of Proverbs, I just want to read a verse or two. It says there in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and the verse 12. It says, "The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion." Listen to this. "But his favour is as dew upon the grass." What does dew do to the grass? Dew refreshes the grass. Dew meets the need of the grass, and the dew that comes down at night, certainly in some parts of the world, it is that which makes the grass to grow. It's that which gives life to the grass. And it says here, "In his favour is, but his favour is as dew upon the grass." So it was with Mephibosheth, so it is with those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely this very forcibly tonight reminds us of the prodigal son. Whenever he came home to the father's house, he wasn't rebuked or turned away, but he's brought in and the fatted calf was brought forth. And that expresses for us that he received the very best. Everything that was good was given to him. And this supplying position here, it was for a total outsider. Remember that. This man, Mephibosheth, he was an outsider. He was undeserving. David fetched him out. And he set him in a place where he would be supplied. And he did it to him even though he was an outsider with absolutely nothing to offer. And surely tonight, men and women, that reminds us of what we call justification. That work whereby a man or woman who turned from their sin to the Lord are cleared before the bar of God. How they are found just before him. I want to read you what I have written in this little piece of paper. It's about a man called William Callahan. He was a down and out, and he was brought into a gospel service, and he was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in that meeting. And he tried to live down his old reputation, but he found it very hard. The police continued to shadow him because of the way that he had lived before. I suppose on a human level, you can't really blame them for that, but very many people did not believe that there had been a work of grace in his life. I suppose it was a wee bit like the Apostle Paul, when the disciples were scared of him when he was first saved. But after 5 years, he went into the city, and with the aid of a Christian lawyer, he got his photos from the police. You see, he did not want to be known as a crook anymore. And he then employed a lawyer to get his photo from what they called the penitentiary in a different part of the country. And they wrote back to him and they said, "You may have got the records from the Chicago police, but you will never get them from the state of Illinois. In other words, as far as the police is concerned, you may be cleared, but we're not going to forget. We're not going to forget, no matter what you say about this salvation." So quite a while after this, he was staying at a place called Battle Creek. And it was there were three governors were brought in, and he was able to present to them his case. And one man in particular said, "I will see what I can do for you." And to cut a long story short, a month later, Mr. Callahan received a letter from the executive mansion in Springfield, state of Illinois, and said, "My dear Mr. Callahan, it gives me pleasure to enclose your photographs from the penitentiary and to tell you that your records and measurements have all been destroyed. There is no record except in your own memory that you were ever there." I'll read that again. "There is no record except in your own memory that you were ever there. You have the gratitude and best wishes of your friend." And then there's a name here of one of the governors. And that is a tremendous picture, men and women, of justification. You see, if a man or woman is brought to Jesus Christ, and they're brought to the king's table, and they're brought into newness of life, then they are justified. And I know sometimes the world is very slow to forgive you, but remember this, you're just like this man. There's no case against you except in your own memory. Wherever you look, You can go to the prison or to the police station if you want. There's no record against you there as far as your sin is concerned, or indeed in any state place. I wonder tonight, can you truly say that you have been justified? There's a man, and you've heard of him before, called Billy Bray. He was an awful man for fighting. I remember reading his book, and just a wee fella, and there's this real big fella, and he took him on, and he was notorious for fighting, but really good at it. And he gave this big boy a hiding anyway, and it's a very interesting story to read. But Billy Bray in his younger days gives society nothing but trouble and turmoil and pain, and upset everyone around him. He had a foul mouth, and had really nothing to offer anyone. It is said concerning Billy Bray, and I think it was his own words, he said it was as ungodly a man as ever walked the streets. That's what he was. But God saved him. And he often said, his favourite saying was, I am the son of a king. I am the son of a king. When Mephibosheth was brought to King David's table, he was made to feel like a son. He was treated like a son. He was supplied as a son. When you and I were brought to Jesus Christ, when we turned to him, God dealt with us. We turned to him in repentance and faith. We can truly say tonight with Billy Bray that we are the sons and daughters of a king. We are in a supplied position. We're not treated as aliens. We're not treated as strangers. But rather, as we quoted in John 1 and 12, we're treated as sons. To as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you not like to be supplied tonight? Would you not like to know what it is to be at the king's table? The swine trucks of the world may offer you plenty of husks, but there's nothing substantial there. You only find that in Jesus Christ and in feeding at the king's table. So this place at the king's table for Mephibosheth, it was a position where he was supplied, but it was also not only a position where he was supplied, it was a place of comfort. You see, when David's men went out and fetched him, he was in a place of absolutely no comfort whatsoever. He refers to himself as a dead dog. But now we find him at the royal table in a place of comfort and supply. What a fool he would have been if he would have repelled David's offer and said, no, you keep your palace. I would rather live here where I am in the squalor and know nothing but perpetual misery. Been a great fool, you would say, if he had responded in that way. You'll notice here that his lameness outside the king's palace was a great burden to him. Couldn't do anything, really. He was lame in both his feet. He'd been dropped by his nurse. I think I mentioned that to you before one time. He had many disadvantages. He was a man who, we believe, did not really know any comfort. But it's very notable now regarding this king's table that his feet were under the table. In other words, that which was an imperfection was out of sight. It was out of sight. It was out of the road here. And whenever you think of that, men and women, and think of those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our defects, they're out of sight when we're at the king's table. There's no more looming scrutiny. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to understand that God scrutinizes hearts in meetings like this. And one day, the great day for which every other day was made is coming, when you'll be scrutinized for the final time. And God will judge you according to what he finds in your heart. If you're saved, you'll be with him forever. If you're not, you'll be in hell for all eternity without him. But there's no more looming scrutiny for God's people. There's no longer the uncomfortable feeling of need. A person who is living a miserable life with very little, they're very uncomfortable of all of these deficiencies that Mephibosheth had. There's not much comfort for them. And let's face up to something tonight. There's no real comfort in sin. Because the only way that you get comfort out of sin is by getting a little bit more sin the next time. And then a little bit more sin, a little bit deeper in the next time. And as the hymn or the song said long ago, it said, sin will take you further than you want to go, and so it will. Far further than you want to go. But there's comfort found in Jesus Christ. And there's comfort in him alone. Where your sin is out of sight and would have been cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. The Bible speaks about happy is that people whose God is the Lord. There's plenty of people here and they're very happy and they're very comfortable ultimately. That is because they're in Christ. They're in a position not only of being supplied continually at the King's table, but they're in a very position of great comfort. The comfort of the gospel. The Bible means something to you when you come to Christ. It brings comfort to your mind. Comfort to your daily round. Comfort to your family. You can't know any of that if you haven't come to the Lord. But notice here, this was an everyday position for him. For you look at chapter 9 again, this time in the verse 13. It says there in 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 13, "And so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table." He was able to come here and to have his need met any time he needed it. There was no sending him away. There was no limit on that which he could avail himself on. And if any were to withdraw this happiness and this great honour that was bestowed upon Mephibosheth, what do they need to do? Well, first of all, remember what I said about King David? He was at the top of his power now. First of all, they had to remove King David. Not an easy task at that time. For he was the one who determined that Mephibosheth would feast at his table continually. And if you're saved tonight, and Jesus Christ is your Savior and you love him, remember this tonight, your salvation is not only real, but it's forever. It's forever. Everybody has good days, ups and downs, the tide ebbs and flows, times of victory, times of the struggle, times of the mountaintop and times of the valley. These things are part and parcel of all of our lives, but in and through it all, remember this, Jesus Christ will supply your need continually. Very, very easy to become confused. I remember speaking to a wee woman one night after a meeting, and a man asked me to go and talk to her, and after I preached, and I went and talked to her, and I soon discovered that she didn't need salvation because she was saved. She just needed assurance. She just needed assurance. She'd been struggling a bit. She'd become negligent as far as her devotions were concerned. And in some degree or other, she in her own heart had got away from the Lord. And what she really did was she lacked assurance. And we were able to give her that from God's word, from the book of Jude and from Ephesians chapter 4 and other places, that she was saved eternally. The Lord was hers forever. And I wonder tonight, unsaved person, does that not appeal to you to have something that is there in the good days and something that's there in the bad days? I've met people, indeed been among them, when they were reveling in their sin. As far as they were concerned, it was good days. They had friends all around them, but I've also, on occasions, been with some of them when on their bad days, when sin wasn't doing much to benefit them. In fact, the very opposite. Their heart was broken. There's no friends there. But here is something that is there every day. It's God's salvation. Salvation. Something that is there every day, just as Mephibosheth could come to the king's table and feast at the king's table continually. That's what is offered to you tonight. Does these positions not appeal to you? A position where you are supplied at the king's table, a place where you are comforted at the king's table, a place where you can be, or you will be, every day at the king's table. Are you going to accept these things tonight, or would you rather have the world? Would you rather have sin and its transient pleasures and its offer of pleasure that is wrongly so called? Would you rather have that tonight? An everyday position. But notice here as well, this is a place of safety for Mephibosheth. The old influences didn't have any access there. Do you remember the background he was from? He was part of those who were against David. Do you remember how Saul behaved and so on, the people at that time? But whenever he was brought into the palace, into the king's house, to the king's table, all things were become new. They would become new. There was no access here for the old influences. They would not be dominating him anymore. And when a man or woman comes to Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear. Sin shall no more have dominion over you. No more have dominion over you. As far as your salvation goes, it's a place of safety. Ties in with what we've been saying regarding the King's Table. Now, as we bring the message to a close tonight, are you still in Lodibar? Are you still in the place of no pasture? Are you still in the far side of the Jordan, far away from the Lord? Well, God sends men out to preach. And when he sends men like me to preach, he sends us to fetch people. And every now and again, maybe not as often as we would want it to be, but every now and again, men and women and boys and girls, we do fetch them. And they respond. And they're brought to the King's Table. And they're there forever. That can be your experience tonight. God has you listening, whether you're here or listening in sermon audio. He has you listening in his providential dealings with you. Could be a very last opportunity. This could be the last time tonight when Jesus will pass your way, when God will call to you as the gospel is preached. I trust tonight that you will turn to him, that you will embrace him. We are very delighted to hear this past day of two souls being saved up in Bangor, and we're hearing of ones and twos through the countryside, and boys and girls, and it delights our heart, because more than anything, we know where we were, and we know what it means to be at the King's Table, and how glad we be to hear of others coming as well. You can come tonight. There's room there for you. Come to the King's Table and receive the very best from the Lord. I trust that you will come tonight.